take your Bibles, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And I want to read verses 1 through 9 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Brother Gus, that's right after the book of Index. No, concordance is in the back. See, you got that backwards. You'd had to open your mouth, didn't you? Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, we'll read this responsively. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. They said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto the heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, all people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they led off to build the city. And let's finish on verse 9 together. Ready? "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." And let's pray. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, please do what I cannot do. First of all, I yield to you. Secondly, would you fill me with your power? And thirdly, may each and every listener be listening with your power so that we could get the truth from you that we need tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here we have the story of what you would know as the Tower of Babel. Now, here's something interesting. It's not going to be life-changing, but of course, in Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8 and 9, you have the record of the flood with Noah and the days thereafter. By chapter 11, we're talking about Babel. It is approximately somewhere between 325 and 340 years after the flood. We're not talking just weeks or months or just a few years. We're talking centuries after the flood. It's about 100 years longer than America has been a nation. Think of it in that term. It's been quite a while since the flood. Probably, and there's no way we can go back and record this and tell you for sure, but by best guess, there were hundreds of millions of people on the face of the earth. You have to understand something. America's been a nation for just under 240 years. There are 330 million people in America. That's only after 240 years. Imagine 100 years longer. And back then, they reproduced longer and more chitlins than we have today. And the death rate wasn't nearly as high, though they only started with 8. That is correct. But it multiplied pretty quickly. And so there were probably hundreds of millions of people on the face of the earth. Now, you have to understand something. When Noah's sons and Noah left the ark, you have to understand, they went in three directions. Ham's descendants went to the African area. You had Shem's folks that went to the, I believe, to the Asian area, and Japheth folks went to the European area in the Middle East. That is where the settlement of the nations went. And you have to understand, 300 and some years. But there was a vast group of people there in what is called Babylon. That's Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Syria. that little area over in the Middle East right there, part of Saudi Arabia as well, and northern India, you would think that man would not be so stupid as to stray away from God after the flood. But guess what? We are. You would think, and by the way, some of these had descendants that could remember what it was like just after the flood. They would live hundreds of years. It wasn't uncommon back then. Man's sin is so strong that it corrupts very quickly. Everyone at this time was speaking the same language. You have to understand something. The Bible says that the whole world was speaking one language. Now, I'm coming somewhere back to that in a minute. But it was a mess. They had a one world type system. They had a one language system. God saw how that man was destroying himself. I want you to notice that it says in verse number 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. God himself came down, I believe, Jesus. You can disagree on which part of the Godhead with me. I'm not going to fight you over it. But it does say that he came down to inspect the city and the tower himself. And he finds the world a mess. God knows that man has a global government mentality. You're hearing a lot these days the word unification. We need to unify. We all need to come together. Let's all be one big unit, just like the Tower of Babel. Did you know it's dangerous for everybody to be the same? I'm glad God made my wife different than me. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Sodomites are wrong. I'm glad God made us different. Did you know my wife thinks differently from me? And I'm glad. Now, there's days it frustrates me because I know I'm right. There's days it frustrates her because she knows she's right. And usually she is and I'm wrong. Now, wait a minute. Let me say something here. God saw that man was going to self-destruct with a one language, one government system throughout the whole world. Why is it our world wants to go back to that? Everybody doing okay? Just look at our world today. Between the iPhones, the iPads, the computers, the TV, the apps that automatically translate your voice for you, either in text or spoken. You can call around the world, talk to people of a different nationality, and you can be speaking English and they can be speaking Chinese, and you can be communicating in each other's language via the technology we have today. We have almost globalized our world into something very small. And you hear the word used an awful lot, globalization. Globalization. By the way, that's a precursor to the Antichrist one world government. Guess what? We Christians are out of here before that happens. Don't worry. The trumpet will sound. We're going up. Amen. And they can have this mess. Now, listen to me very carefully. The people in Babel wanted to build a tower that reached all the way to God in heaven. Doesn't that sound stupid? Can you imagine wanting to build a building so tall that you could actually go to heaven? Number one, they didn't even know where heaven was. Now think about it. To say you want to build a building that goes all the way to the moon, We know where the moon's at. Where's heaven? Have you ever seen it? Have you ever been there? And they're starting a building and they don't even know where it's going to end up. You see, they wanted this building because it was going to be a focal point to show how great man was, not how great God was. Man thought he could do what God did not do. Man was going to end up worshiping himself because of this more than he would worship God, and God knew it. By the way, the smarter man thinks he is, generally, the farther away from God he gets. You go to the average institution of higher learning and they'll tell you that being a Christian is for weak people. Man wants to worship his own mind. Are you doing okay? The Bible says God had enough. He came down to see the city and the tower. He came to inspect it. He was the general inspector, amen? He wanted to inspect it himself. He also came to inspect the city. Not just the tower, but the city. He wanted to see how they were ruling and governing themselves. And he wanted to actually hear what people were saying. Not that he could not from heaven, but he wanted to come down and be amongst the people and do that. Now, listen to me very carefully. He walked into town and they didn't know who he was. How sad. I wonder if Jesus came to Martinsburg, West Virginia, if you'd know who he was. That's one of those. You say, oh, of course I would. He'd have prints in his hands and he'd have a long white robe and long sissy hair and a beard. Well, number one, he's not going to have long hair. Number two, I don't care what Hollywood has taught you, not everybody wore robes back then. They wore clothes like you and I do. What if Jesus came to Martinsburg today? How would we react? I wonder if he came to your neighborhood. How would he be treated? What if he came to your house? How would he be received? What would have to change? How would it have been had he been at the restaurant with you this afternoon? How would you have acted? Here's a good one. I wonder how the newspaper articles would be written if he came to town. In the Martinsburg Journal. I can't call it what I usually call it. It sounds like journal, but got a different letter at the first letter there. Can you imagine how bad it would really be had Jesus come to town? Oh, the Pope can come and everybody's excited about it. But what if Jesus himself came? The last time he was here, they murdered him. Let me give you just a few things here and then we'll go home. Number one, Jesus came himself to inspect the city and the tower. Look at verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. In this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Wow. He said, I want to see it with my own two eyes on the earth to make sure I'm doing and seeing exactly what I think I'm seeing. He came down, listen to this, he came down and showed them who was in control. Folks, our politicians think they have control. They don't even have control of their own lives. God is able to raise up and put down leaders in America. I hate to say this. I'm old enough to remember when you used to vote and a president used to say he was a Christian or not. Now, you just hold your nose and hope you get the least of the worst. It's gotten that bad. In the early 1960s, John F. Kennedy was the first Catholic president in America. America was afraid to have a Catholic president because they were afraid a Catholic person would allow the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church to merge into the state and the dictates of the state. We've had Mormons run. We've got Christian Muslims. Did I say that politically correct enough? We've got people that are just flat out infidels. Seventh-day Adventist, you name it. And then you got Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist. He bragged, and by the way, this isn't something new. He's been doing it for decades. A socialist, the very thing we fought against, and he's running for president. Everybody doing okay? See, man often thinks he's in control. Can I tell you something? Man did not make the sun come up this morning. Man is not allowing the sun to go down tonight. Man didn't bring the tide up or put it back down. I don't care what Al Gore says. We don't have control of the tide. They can tell you all they want. Did you ever notice? It's amazing that we can send a probe to Mars, and they can tell you what happened billions of years ago, but they can't tell you what's going on right now on Earth. Jesus knew what was going on, but he wanted to reveal himself that he knew and that man knew that God was in control. Let me make a statement here. The bigger the group, the more corruption there will be, most likely. The bigger the group, the more likely there is to be more corruption. You say, why is that? Because you have more sinners together. Did you know there's more crime in New York City than there is Martinsburg, West Virginia? Can I tell you why? There's millions and millions and millions of more people there. When you get more people together, you have more problems. As a church grows, as our church grows, I've been in churches. My son's church runs about a dozen and a half people. I've been in churches and preached in churches just like that all over this country. Do you know that there's not a lot of problems in churches like that? There's not a lot of people. I've been in the world's largest church, 22, 24, 25,000 people every Sunday morning, 7,000 seat auditorium. You got to understand something. We ran more on a Sunday morning than the population of Martinsburg is. Now think through that for a second. Can you imagine what hospital visitation's like for a church that size? We literally had enough people in our church to where we needed a hospital just for our people if we wanted. We could fill up, I call it City Hospital, University Hospital. Sorry, Neil. University Hospital. We could have filled that up on every day of the week with the people in our church. You say, wow, that seems like a church that size. It always has a lot of problems because there's a lot of people. The more people you have, the more problems you have. Don't let that discourage you. That's normal. You work in a business where there's three people, you don't have a lot of problems. You work in a business that has 3,000 people, you're going to have a lot of problems. The more people, the more corruption. Why? Because you have more sinners. By the way, the bigger the school, the bigger the problems. The bigger the government, the bigger the problems. The more corruption there is. Now, be careful what crowd you hang around. You'll become like them. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. You show me who influences you, I'll show you what you are. Brother Hiles used to say it this way, don't hang around anywhere you wouldn't want to live. Parents, don't let your children hang around people they should not hang around. Right. Well, I'm not sure where they are. That's your fault. know where they are, who they're with at all times. And if it changes and they didn't tell you, woe be to them. I mean, woe be to them. Be careful who in person or online your children hang around and who you hang around. Okay, here it goes. I'm talking about Facebook, your social media. You know, some of you associate with people in social media that you would never associate with in person. And it's dangerous. Amen. Can I tell you something? You say, well, nobody's going to know, preacher. Did you know there were people in this church that were texting me, congratulating me about my son taking the church as pastor, and I hadn't found out 10 minutes before? He put it on Facebook, which that's his prerogative. But I had people in this church congratulating me, and I had barely hung up the phone to find out that he had taken it. I'm thinking, how'd they know? How'd they know? My wife said, how is everybody finding out? And finally, somebody said, I saw it on Facebook. I thought, oh, that explains it all. It is amazing. Are you doing all right? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God is with you, and he sees all you do. Guess what? Jesus does see it. You see, Jesus doesn't need to look at your computer. He's watching it every time you are. Jesus doesn't need to look at your phone. He's watching it every time you are. Jesus doesn't need to listen to the conversation. He's listening to it as it takes place because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of a saved person. And guess what? He's down here inspecting your city, where you're at, and your influences. Number two, he found the people full of pride. Jesus found the people full of pride. We think pride is sometimes something that it is not. Pride is this, you wanting to be equal with God or better than God. We don't say it that way, but that's what it is. They wanted to build a tower that could reach to God. I can hear Nancy Pelosi and Hillary saying, well, we have good intentions. This is going to help everybody. It'll just make everybody feel so good. That's man's philosophy. Well, we have a good motive. Only God can judge a motive. Doesn't matter what the motive, for man to think he could build a structure that goes to a heaven he doesn't even know where it's at, says, I'll meet God and make him meet me at my level, and I'm going to bring God down to man, and I will elevate myself up to where God is. Reminds me of a man named Lucifer in Isaiah 14. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. It is satanic and it's wrong. See, they thought that they were better than they really were. Isn't it amazing how good we think we really are? Well, I'm not that bad. Do you ever notice if you're going to compare yourself to someone, who you compare yourself to? You compare yourself to another sinner. I never heard anybody say, oh, I'm not that bad, and they've compared themselves to that book right there. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on. We're going somewhere. The pride of humanism of today has man thinking that he is as good or better than God. Man today wants to kick God out of life so man can be his own God. Let me say that again. Man today wants to kick God out of everybody's life so that man can be God. This kid in Oregon walked into a community college or a college and started shooting people that were Christians. Are you a Christian? Yes. Well, you're going to meet God in a second and pulled the trigger. Are you a Christian? Yes. Killed 9 people that way. Then the coward turned the gun on himself. I almost want to shake his hand. Can't do it because he did. But he saved us an awful lot of legal bills to keep that rascal alive. In Oklahoma this week, they removed the Ten Commandments from public view. Everybody's, oh, it might offend somebody. Let me ask you a question. Instead of them getting offended, why don't they come up with their own Ten Commandments? Why don't they just put their little plaque out there that has what they live by? Because they have no truth. They don't live by anything. Everybody doing okay? Why is it that we have to remove ours? Why don't they just put theirs up? Because they don't have anything. Oh, we've taken God out of our schools. We've taken him out of our government. We're trying to take him out of public. We're trying to take God out of everything. Did you know that in New York City, they are shining at night on the sides of the Empire State Building, I believe, some of the Hindu gods? They are actually portraying in hundreds and hundreds of feet the Hindu gods and the Muslim gods. But we can't have a manger scene for Christmas in public? Everybody doing all right? We Christians have the Holy Spirit. We don't need a tower. We got the Word of God. We don't need a tower. We have the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be worried about building big fancy church buildings and stained glass and say, oh, look, that's the place where God dwells. This auditorium is not the sanctuary. I'm going to reprogram some of y'all. The sanctuary was the place where God dwelled. The sanctuary is the heart of the believer because that's where the Holy Spirit of God is. This is just the family living room for God, amen? This isn't the sanctuary, it's the auditorium. That's right. I'm not mad. Some of you grew up in denominationalism and it's a bad habit. Okay, but I'm not a denominationalist. I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Doesn't matter. Amen. Next and last, but don't put your shoes on. Number three, Jesus did whatever it took to help them get right. Yeah, April, keep yours on. It smells over there. Jesus did whatever it took to help the people to get right. Look at me. God does not take it lightly when people are not doing right. God does not take it lightly when people do not do right. By the way, that's why he gave us that book. That's why man is trying to destroy, trying to discredit, and trying to rewrite that book. Did you ever notice that those that believe the Quran, they're not putting up their Ten Commandments? They just want us to take ours down? Say why? Because they would have to print that they believe in killing any Christian. All infidels, and by that they mean anybody who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Mr. Reverend Wright at the Million Man March 2 in D.C. yesterday got up and said that Jesus was a Palestinian Muslim. Well, Reverend Wright is Reverend Wrong. Are you doing okay? Listen to me carefully. God gave us the Word of God to show us how he wanted us to live. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God is there to convict you and to help you and to guide you. Before you get saved, it's there to put pressure on to where you can't stand it till you do get saved. God does not want to punish, but he will. You know, I never enjoyed having to punish my children. But it didn't stop me from doing it. Now, I'm not one of those people, this is going to hurt you worse than it hurts me. Because I've been spanked enough, there ain't no way spanking hurts worse than getting spanked. But it does hurt your heart. Punishing doesn't always mean spanking, by the way. So what did God do? Number one, he confounded or confused their language. This is where all of the different languages came into being was at the Tower of Babel. God said, if they keep unifying and stayed unified, they are going to corrupt themselves so badly, they will never, ever get saved. They'll never, ever listen to me as God. I've got to do something to break this up so that they disperse, so that they find each other, and we can break it down and break up some of this corruption, and we'll go at it a different route. He was trying to break up the wickedness of thought to keep them from transferring their wickedness so quickly. America and our world is breaking down the barrier of separation to unification, and we're running away from God faster than we've ever run before. The devil today has corrupted the languages. Have you ever listened to people curse and swear? Did you know when I was a boy, if a man swore in front of a woman, he stopped himself and said, I'm sorry, there's a lady here. Good night, I've been cussed out by women more than men. I'm not kidding. I've heard women say filthier things than I've heard men say. Everybody doing okay? The vulgarity of language today? In the 1950s and 60s, on television, a couple portraying a married couple couldn't even sleep in the same bed. They had to have twin beds. You all remember that? Now, they don't even have to have any clothes on. We have shows promoting nakedness, immorality, and it's accepted. By the way, some of the vulgarity texted and done on Facebook. God scattered them by language. Man keeps wanting to unify, and God wants to separate. Man wants to be all inclusive. Let's all be the same. And God says, the more you're together, the more you're going to mess up. Let's break this party up a little bit. God wants us to be separated to keep us from getting in trouble before we get in trouble. There's times I've preached in different meetings. Generally, it's when I've got a bunch of teenagers or a bunch of bus kind of kids. And I'll see I got a little pocket. And I'll say, now, Ed, you're not in trouble yet, but you look like you're fixing to get in trouble. So I need you to move up here, not because you're in trouble, but to keep you from getting in trouble. And I'll move somebody. And I'll move somebody over here. And I'll get everybody situated, and I'm putting out fires before they start. And I'll say to them, you're not in trouble. You haven't done anything wrong yet. But I'm going to try to keep you from doing something wrong, because if you're staying where you are right now, it ain't going to be good. Then you will get in trouble. And I've moved them, not because they were in trouble, but I've tried to prevent them from getting in trouble. I did it in the classroom all the time as a teacher. I knew what students not to put together. You say, why? Because they were going to be trouble. They just couldn't handle being beside somebody. So I'd have to move them. Not because they were in trouble, but to prevent trouble. God confounded the language and separated everybody, not just because they were in trouble, but to keep them from getting in more trouble. By the way, the melting pot of America has melted people into a unified pot of goo, so that now this melting pot is global goo. That's real profound, isn't it? You can tell I didn't get that out of a book anywhere, can't you? Have you ever had a melting pot before? I almost called my dad this afternoon, but I didn't. I got home. My neighbor was out mowing. Now, they haven't had a muffler on their lawnmower for about 2 years. Have you ever heard a lawnmower with no muffler? They mow with earmuffs and earplugs. It's so loud. I've almost gone to the store to buy them a mower because it's just so loud. Well, I got home, and just as I pulled my truck up, as all I see is blue smoke. And I'm not talking a little. I'm talking a lot. I learned a long time ago, blue smoke in an engine is not a good thing. But the trouble was, by the time I got my truck off and got out, it wasn't running, but the smoke was still billowing. I thought, So I walked over. I said, "Everything okay?" She said, And I bent down. There was a hole about that big in the side of the engine. The whole side of the engine block had come off, popped a piece of metal off, and it was laying in the front of the mower with oil. She said, "I think I locked it up." I said, She said, "What?" I said, "Come here." She bent down. I said, "Look at that hole." She said, "That's not good." I said, "No, because the piece is out there." I said, "Gorilla glue's not going to handle that one." I said, "Best thing you can do is put this out front and call the guy to take it away." I said, "It's not fixable." I said, "If you need a mower, you could borrow mine." I said, "I'll mow your grass tomorrow. Can't do it today, but I'll do it tomorrow if you need me to." She said, "Oh, let me see." I walked away. I was laughing. I thought, man, I've done a lot of things to mowers, but I never popped the side off of one like that. Wait a minute. That's kind of like America. We want to put everything in there and just let it build up, build up, build up, build up, and all of a sudden the pressure is going to blow. And it's one convoluted mess of goo. Oh, you can't speak Christian things to non-Christian people. We're taking the Pledge of Allegiance out of colleges. We're taking the pledge out of the schools because that might offend somebody. Well, doggone it, their lack of patriotism and their lack of Christianity is offending me. We as Christians need to separate from those who lift up their way over God's way. Can I tell you who you separate from? People that want to lift themselves up over God. Anybody that wants to talk about self over God, stay away. Man versus God, choose God, forget man. Forget it. Man's way is heaven, God's way, take God's way. Man's way of living by the Bible or God's way? Well, we can rewrite the Bible and it won't be so harsh. Oh, doesn't that sound so warm and fuzzy? Folks, can I tell you something? Jesus is here. He's coming back to get his children out of this mess one day. Jesus wants to get you right. When the Bible goes against how you're living, do what the Bible says and forget how you were living. It's amazing what happens when a person gets saved. I wish you could experience some of the things I experience. There are people in this room that I've won you to Christ and I have watched God change your entire life. I've seen it happen before my eyes. I didn't do it. All I did is give you the gospel. I let him do it. Not my way, God's way. I could die tonight. Some of you would be glad. I could die tonight. Guess what? That book's not dying. They can take it off all the public grounds they want, but it didn't change the word of God. It's not going to change. Jesus came to town to inspect the city and the tower. Let me ask you a question. What if he came to your town? What if he came to your neighborhood? What if he came to your house? Well, if you're saved, he's inside of you and he's already there. What's he going to find? Every head bowed, every eye closed. What will he find in your life? What are you watching? How are you interacting? Who are you interacting with? I don't know what you needed in the sermon, but I promise you every person in this room needed that sermon tonight. I promise you.